Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, February 28th, and coming up in today's episode, Pune police arrest Pune bus rape case accused after 75 hours long manhunt. Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin details alleged impacts of delimitation in his birthday message. Family of comatose Indians on finally getting the emergency visa from U.S. Embassy, and U.S. federal judge halts Donald Trump and Elon Musk's mask firing. Pune police have arrested Dattatrai Gade late last night after a three-day-long search involving over 100 police personnel, 13 teams and drones. The breakthrough came when he arrived at a relative's house at 10:30 p.m. on Thursday, 2 days after the rape. Realizing his identity, the relatives immediately alerted the police. Before leaving, Gade allegedly admitted, quote, "I have made a big mistake and I have to surrender," unquote. Investigators gained a crucial lead when they found a discarded shirt. Using it, sniffer dogs tracked his scent to a sugarcane field near a canal. However, it was vigilant villagers who ultimately spotted him hiding in the canal and informed the authorities. He was swiftly taken into police custody and transported to Pune, where the special investigation team of Swargat police formally arrested him. Gade is a serial offender and has at least 6 criminal cases against him across Maharashtra. His criminal activities date back to 2019, when he took out a loan to buy a four-wheeler and began operating as an illegal taxi driver. He targeted elderly women, offering them rides before driving them to isolated locations, threatening them with a knife and robbing their jewellery. In 2020, he was convicted of robbery in Kardeghat near Shirur and sentenced for 5 to 6 months of jail. However, multiple cases against him have remained unsolved and he had been out of bail since 2019, despite pending charges in Shikarpur, Supa, Kidgaon and Kotwali. Gade was alleged to be politically connected as well. He worked for a prominent political leader and even ran for a seat in the Sangharsh Mukti Samiti of Gunat village, though he lost. According to police, Gade was frequently seen at Swargate bus depot, posing as an officer. He used this deception to mislead the 26-year-old medical professional waiting for a bus at Faltan early Tuesday morning. Approaching her at 5:45 a.m., he called her Didi, meaning sister, and claimed her bus was at another platform. Then he led her to an empty Shivshahi AC bus, reassuring her before following inside and committing the crime. This is according to the victim's statement. The incident had sparked outrage across Maharashtra. Deputy Chief Minister Eknath Shinde called for maximum punishment, including the death penalty. Shiv Sena MLA Nilesh Rane has suggested even reviving encounter squads to handle repeat offenders. Pune police had announced a Rs 1 lakh reward for any person who had information that would lead to Gade's arrest, a move that may have expedited the operation. Former Chief Justice of India D.Y. Chandrachud compared the case to the very famous Nirbhaya case, where a girl was raped in a moving bus in Delhi in 2012, stating, quote, "We cannot prevent such crimes by only having laws," unquote. Amid public pressure, Maharashtra's Transport Minister Pratap Sarnaik has ordered a security audit of all bus depots. Unauthorized vehicles must be removed by April 15 and more female security guards will be deployed. Additionally, an IPS officer will be appointed as Chief Security and Vigilance Officer for MSRTC. Disciplinary action has been taken against Swargate depot officials. A departmental inquiry is underway against the Assistant Transport Superintendent and the Bus Depot Manager for security lapses. In a video message released on his birthday today, Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin called for collective action against delimitation, which he claims will negatively impact the state's political representation as well as cultural identity. Mr. Stalin has strongly opposed the centre's policies on parliamentary seat allocation and language education in the NEP 2020, urging the people of the state to resist what he calls an unfair system that disadvantages Tamil Nadu. A major point of contention is the upcoming parliamentary seat redistribution, which is expected to be based on population data. Mr. Stalin argues that this system unfairly benefits states with higher population growth while penalizing those like Tamil Nadu that have successfully controlled their population, according to him. Quote, don't penalize southern states that took responsible measures to control population growth. Delimitation will affect Tamil Nadu's self-respect, social schemes and people's welfare, Chief Minister Stalin said in a recent post on X. He claimed that the center's assurances about fairness in the process were misleading, stating, quote, the center claims it is not imposing its will on the state, but actions suggest otherwise, unquote. Alongside concerns about representation in the parliament, Mr. Stalin targeted the three-language policy under the National Education Policy again, which his party has consistently opposed. The chief minister accused the centre of attempting to impose Hindi in the Tamil Nadu education system and claimed that this policy had already resulted in the state losing its rightful share of central funds. Quote, we were pioneers of the language battle, settling the course for the entire nation, unquote, Mr. Stalin said, referencing Tamil Nadu's long-standing resistance to what they call Hindi imposition. He urged people to raise awareness and ensure that the state's interests are protected. Quote, you should take this message to people. Every individual must rise to defend our state, he added. The opposition to the center's policies have also been echoed by leaders from other southern states. Karnataka Chief Minister Siddaramaiah recently questioned Union Home Minister Amit Shah's assurances that southern states would not be negatively impacted by the upcoming parliamentary seat redistribution. Siddaramaiah, regarding this, had said, quote, going by the Home Minister's vague remarks, it seems that either he lacks proper information or there is a deliberate intent to disadvantage the southern states, including Karnataka, Telangana, Tamil Nadu, Kerala and Andhra Pradesh, unquote. To address these concerns, Mr. Stalin has invited 40 registered political parties to a meeting on March 5th at the Tamil Nadu Secretariat. The meeting is expected to cover multiple issues, including parliamentary seat allocation, the national eligibility cum entrance test or NEET for medical admissions, which the party has opposed for long, the three-language policy in NEP, as well as the allocation of central funds. Earlier, Mr. Stalin warned that reducing Tamil Nadu's Lok Sabha representation from 39 to 31 seats based on population figures would significantly diminish the state's influence in the parliament. Quote, it is not just about numbers, it is about our rights. I invite all parties to discuss NEET, the three-language policy and the allocation of funds from the centre, unquote. After days of desperate appeals, the family of Neelam Shinde, an Indian student in a coma in United States, has finally received an emergency visa visit for her. The U.S. Embassy granted the visa this morning, bringing relief to her relatives who had struggled to secure an interview slot. Ms. Shinde, a 35 years old and a postgraduate student at California State University, was critically injured in a hit-and-run accident in Sacramento on February 14th. She suffered multiple fractures and underwent emergency brain surgery. Since then, she has remained in a coma. Her family, based in Satara, Maharashtra, had been trying to get a visa to see her. Her father, cousin and uncle will now take the next available flight to the United States. Gaurav Shinde, her cousin, described the visa process as smooth and expressed gratitude. Quote, the interview process was smooth. We received the visa copy and will take the next flight. We are thankful to the media, Ekna Shinde and Supriya Sule, he added. The family had to take out a loan of rupees 5 to 6 lakh for travel, but remains uncertain about hospital expenses. Quote, if the government helps financially, it would be great. We don't know the hospital bill yet, Mr. Gaurav added. Initially, their visa appointment was scheduled for next year, forcing them to seek help from media and political leaders. Following an appeal from NCP Sharad Pawar leader Supriya Sule, the Ministry of External Affairs intervened, expediting their visa process. Recalling their struggle, Mr. Gaurav said, and I quote, when we first came, nobody entertained us. We were told the police would take us away if we waited. We thought we'd never see her, but Neelam's friends helped us. The media and government made the process smooth, unquote. NDTV even ran a campaign to save Neelam and helped create awareness for their dire situation. Mr. Gaurav also urged reforms in visa procedures for emergencies. Quote, no family should face this struggle. There should be special provisions for such cases. While machinery remains critical, doctors have noted slight improvements. It is being said that even though she is still in coma, her blood pressure has stabilized and there would be some hope for the family. The driver responsible, 58-year-old Lawrence Gallo, fled the scene but was arrested on February 19th. The accident occurred near Fair Oaks Boulevard and Cadillac Drive before 7 p.m. on February 14th. According to Sacramento Police, responding police officers found a female on the ground. The vehicle had fled. Sacramento Fire transported her to a hospital with serious injuries. A U.S. federal judge has halted mass firings of government workers that were initiated as a part of a workforce reduction plan by Donald Trump and Elon Musk. The ruling issued on Thursday directs the Office of Personnel Management to reverse directives that had led to thousands of layoffs across multiple federal agencies, as reported by news agency AFP. Judge William Alsup, presiding in a federal court in San Francisco, stated that OPM did not have the authority to order terminations at other agencies. Quote, "The Office of Personnel Management does not have any authority whatsoever under any statute in the history of the universe to hire and fire employees at another agency," as quoted by the Washington Post. He further explained that Congress has granted hiring and firing powers to individual agencies rather than OPM. Quote, "Congress has given the authority to hire and fire the agencies themselves. The Department of Defense, for example, has statutory authority to hire and fire," the judge added. The ruling is the latest in a recent series of legal hurdles faced by President Trump's administration. It follows a recent court decision blocking his refugee admissions ban and another suspending his executive order that sought to overturn birthright citizenship. The case was brought forward by labor unions and advocacy groups who argued that the directive forcing agencies to terminate all probationary employees was unlawful. Federal employees in their first or second year of service are considered probationary, even if they have been promoted from a lower rank. The layoffs affected tens of thousands of workers, according to legal filings. A statement from the plaintiffs, reported by the Washington Post, strongly criticized the mass terminations. Quote, "OPM, the federal agency charged with implementing this nation's employment laws, in one fell swoop has perpetrated one of the most massive employment frauds in the history of this country," the filing stated. The plaintiff's attorneys further argue that OPM lacked any constitutional, statutory or regulatory authority to issue such termination orders. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anvati, signing off.